We'll begin with a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings which you have showered upon our land. And we pray that for the sake of your elect, you continue to bless it according to your will. We pray also in thankfulness for the spiritual kingdom which you have prepared for us through your Son and the victory that he has won and is still continuing to win and will finish. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us now as we meditate upon the word which he's given us in the final verses of Joshua chapter 5. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping live with us by the speakerphones and those who are will be receiving the sermons in the CDs in the coming weeks. Service this evening is coming from the Village Hall here in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we have and have enjoyed and really are still enjoying a beautiful, beautiful Wisconsin summer day. I don't know if you can find a day this beautiful anywhere else. We've had low humidity, temperatures in the high 70s probably, or maybe low 80s, pleasant breeze, bright blue skies, and white fluffy clouds. It is just fantastically beautiful. The good old summertime here in Wisconsin. And we wish you were here with us. The spiritual blessings, though, are the great things, and we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Joshua chapter 5. We are at a key point in the book of Joshua. Up to this point, we've seen the children of Israel obedient to God in everything. The way they crossed the Jordan River, the keeping of the rite of circumcision, and the Passover at a time when it seemed not the right thing to do because they were in enemy territory, really surrounded by the enemy, and physically speaking were very vulnerable, except for the fact that they were obeying God, and that means they were anything but vulnerable. And now from here on in, things are going to happen very, very quickly as we're going to be starting a military campaign that's going to last for 7 years, and the likes of which you will not find in any heathen annals. Victories that would have been unheard of for heathen generals, we're going to see here in the book of Joshua. Before we do, we're going to kind of pause and take our breath a little bit. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time on something that is important to me, at least. And it has to do with the final verses of Joshua 5, which I know we've looked at before. I'd like to read them again. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. These verses are some of the most amazing and mysterious verses in all Holy Writ. Joshua had gone out to kind of get the lay of the land, look over the city of Jericho, and then prepare to attack. When he did that, he saw a man. This is not a vision. He saw a man. And the man had a drawn sword in his hand. And this man was none other than the Son of God. One of the mysterious appearances that Jesus Christ made in the Old Testament. The fact that it was Jesus Christ is evident by at least two things. For one thing, he called himself the captain of God's army. Joshua had asked the wrong question. Are you for us or for our enemies? That's the wrong question. No. The question is not, are you for us or are you for enemies? Who are you and are we on your side? That's the question. As captain of the Lord of hosts, I am now coming. We can't help but think of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So this is not a vision, it's an appearance of the Son of God coming down now as captain of the host of God's army. And the battles which we see now are going to see fought for the rest of the book of Joshua are going to be commanded by the Son of God himself. Got to remember that. And then another thing, when Joshua fell down to worship this man, the man accepted the worship. And this is proof also that he has to be the Son of God. Even an angel would not have accepted this. Revelation 19, verse 10, John says, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he's talking about an angel. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, every child of God, I would imagine, most everyone, is well acquainted with the Christmas story. It took place in the manger of Bethlehem of Judea when the angels appeared to the shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night and told them that the true Lamb of God had been born in Bethlehem, and they would find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. We all know that. But I wonder how many Christians are aware of the fact that the Son of God made many appearances on this earth in physical form even before he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. You know, I didn't know this for years and years and years. I was never taught this. If you look up the term, the angel of the Lord, if I'm counting correctly, and I might not be, but I believe the title, the angel of the Lord, appears 49 times in the Old Testament. And every single time, it's a reference to Jesus Christ. That term, the angel of the Lord, refers to an appearance of Jesus Christ in angelic form. He also appeared as a human being different times. And I just felt, I know this isn't going to be a regular type sermon this evening, but I felt that it would be beneficial to look at a few of the times that he did occur, either as the angel of the Lord or as a human being. Human being. I think this is really important. Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 9, the term, the angel of the Lord, is found. And the verses read this way, and the angel of the Lord found her, that's Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. The angel of the Lord here giving a command, and she followed it. And this was the Son of God. Now you go to Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Abraham is involved here. And it reads this way, The Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. So there it says, The Lord appeared to him. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, we're not going to study all these things. We don't have time for that. I realize that. But you're familiar with this. It's the chapter right before the terrible destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by fire and brimstone from heaven. And three men, human beings, three men, two of whom were angels, and one of which was Jesus Christ, appeared to Abraham. Another of those mysterious appearances of the Son of God in the Old Testament. And this one is too plain to be missed. Then you go to something like Genesis 32. Jacob is involved. Reading from verses 24 to 30, and again, not spending time on this, I realize we don't have time for that. Jacob was left alone. And at this particular time, he was between a rock and a hard place. He was being followed on the one side by his father-in-law who wanted to kill him, and he was being come to met by his brother who wanted to kill him also at the time. He didn't have anywhere to go. And he was left alone in more ways than one. And then a mysterious man appeared to him. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the mysterious man, he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Swindler, trickster, that's what it means. Wasn't a name you could be proud of, but that's the kind of person he was. And he, the man, said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Human name change. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. This is kind of odd. Jacob wrestled with this man and actually won. But the man gave him the victory. All he had to do was touch his thigh and it was out of joint. He threw the fight. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Why are you asking me who I am? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob was wrestling with Jesus Christ. He knew it. When it was all over, he knew it. I have seen God face to face. Well, you see, Scripture says no man can look upon God and live. No man has seen God at any time. That's what Scripture says. Here it says, Jacob says, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. How can that be? He was wrestling with the Son of God. That's how it can be. Appearing in human form. The mediator. The one that stands between the Almighty God and us. And he can relate to both. Because he's the true Son of God in every single way. He's a true human being in every single way. He's unique. Nobody ever liked him. That happened in Genesis 32. And I just picked a few of the things. Then going to Judges chapter 2, verse 1. Just a reference here, a one verse reference. An angel of the Lord, and it's not the angel of the Lord, but an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I have brought you into the unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now that can't be anybody beside Jesus Christ. It only applies to him. And then to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, King James, I believe, has a capital L there, which it should be. O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? We don't look like the Lord's with us at all. And Joshua, or Gideon rather, at the time, did not look like a mighty man of valor at all. If the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, see, now this, the angel of the Lord is called the Lord, Jesus Christ. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Now we can't go through all this. But here's another one of these appearances of Christ. And it seems to me that a lot of the appearances come when God's people are in trouble. Big trouble. And the Son of God steps into the middle of things. And the last one I've got listed here is in Judges chapter 13. Manoah said, I'm breaking into the middle. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made a kid ready for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, now we've got the article, what is thy name, that when thy saying shall come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Now, The term, the angel of the Lord, appears, I believe, 49 times in the Old Testament. And I'm wondering, I don't know, I'm wondering if maybe somewhere along the line in the King James translation, an article was missed. And the translation might have been an angel of the Lord instead of the angel of the Lord. I don't know that. But I'm wondering then, and it would be 50 times, which is a very, very important number in Scripture, as is the number 49. But that's a lot of times, just under the term the angel of the Lord. And then you've got these other instances where Jesus Christ appeared in human form. And, you know, as I said, I never knew this. I went years and years and years of my life before I knew this. And I think it's important. That's why we're spending this time on it. I think it's very, very important. What are some of the reasons why it would be important? Well, one of them would certainly be that it proves that Jesus Christ is eternal. He did not have his beginning in that manger at Bethlehem. He is the eternal, almighty God. John begins his gospel, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And him was life. Life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And it's so obvious there that John is paralleling the opening verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Son of God was there. He is eternal. And so, yes, he can appear in human form even before he was born in the manger at Bethlehem. Now, how this happened, I don't know. And Scripture doesn't tell us. But if an angel can appear in the form of a man, certainly the Son of God can. And he did. And one of the comforts for me is then that it shows that Jesus Christ is in this thing with us from the very beginning. I mean, the war that you and I are in the middle of started back in Eden's garden when God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that started the war. It's been going on ever since. And the Son of God has been in control of this thing. And when the going got rough in certain situations, he came down. Came down in human form. Joshua saw him. On the eve of the beginning of the Battle of Jericho, a very, very key time in the history of God's people, a key time for your salvation and mine. And the name Joshua means Jesus. He is a type of Jesus Christ. But there was even more than that. That man that he saw when he went out to check out the city of Jericho was none other than the Son of God. He is the commander, the captain of the host of God's army. And now Joshua is under him. And everything we're going to read on for the rest of the book of Joshua, of all the tremendous battles that the children of Israel fought, the miracles that took place, shouldn't surprise us at all. Should it surprise us that the sun is going to stand still and the moon? Not if the battle's being fought by Jesus Christ, it shouldn't. Should it surprise us that powerful walls are going to fall down flat without a shot being fired? It shouldn't surprise us at all if the Son of God is the one who's commanding this. So we get back to the manger of Bethlehem. You know, that's where another key thing, when the Son of God came now in the form of a little child, came into the same world the same way that you and I did. He had a human mother. And he was tested as a child, going through the childhood years, same way you and I did. Unlike Adam, but a greater than Adam is here. And as this unfolds, you know, and you see how the Son of God fought when he was on this earth, won that greatest victory ever won on the cross, it all falls into place. But it's not surprising, because he's always been here controlling the shots. Pray that the Holy Spirit will use what we've done here to prompt you to do a deeper study. And this would be an interesting study, to look up all the different occurrences of the Son of God in the Old Testament, the conditions under which they took place. Take a lot of time. Would be interesting. We'll close then with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that our faith be strengthened in you as we grow in grace and knowledge of you, and make us more aware of the fact that you were a frequent person on this earth, even in Old Testament times, many times appearing in visions, sometimes as an angel, and even sometimes in your human form, for our comfort, and grant that it may strengthen our faith in you, that what you said is certainly true, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth, that we need fear no one, and give us the comfort also of knowing that you are in full control of everything that's unfolding in our own wicked generation as we end, near the end of earth history as we know it. And I pray that our eyes may always be lifted up toward you, waiting for your second coming, which this time will be in glory, and the inauguration of your kingdom of glory, when you make a new heaven and a new earth, and give all of your elect glorified bodies, that we may live with you in your kingdom of glory forever. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all.